Welcome to Jewish Singles Radio. I am your host, Valerie Zaslow, along with my co-hosts, Alana Bergavoy.
Hi, everybody.
And Allison Berman.
Hello.
This is the second season of Jewish Singles Radio, where our goal is to bring Jewish men and women together and build an engaging, like-minded community where we can connect and have authentic, meaningful conversation about dating after 40.
If you're divorced, widowed, a single parent, or maybe have never been married, we hope that you will meet new people through the age-old art of conversation. You will also learn a lot. On every show, we'll be talking with dating coaches, health and wellness experts, matchmakers, religious leaders, educators, and of course, singles.
We understand that managing modern dating and navigating single life is not easy, and our goal is to provide you with lots of valuable information and have some fun along the way. If you have questions for any of us or for any of our experts on the show, or if you would like to be a guest on the show, give us a call. The number is 888-329-3306.
So if you are Jewish and single, or single and look to meet someone Jewish, let's talk about it. You can listen to Jewish Singles Radio live every Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. on WWDB 860 a.m. and WPEN 97.5 FM HD2. Or you can hear the streaming show online at WWDBAM.com and wherever you get your podcasts. So I just want to start off today's show saying that our co-host, Allison Berman, is under the weather, and she is not here today. So, unfortunately, we're without her, but we're wishing her a speedy recovery, and she'll be joining us next week. Today's show is about communication. We're communicating about communicating and ways to communicate effectively in a new relationship and to improve communications with someone that you're dating. You know, good communication skills are a key component of any successful relationship, especially in, you know, the initial dating stages. So can a relationship thrive or survive without good communication? I mean, what do you do if you have a hard time communicating when you start dating or when you're in a relationship? Can you even date someone successfully if you're not communicating? Many of us turn to our close friends when we're looking for dating advice because our friends always want to help and offer advice because they're invested in your friendship and they want to see you happy. And of course, they can be a good source for introducing us to new people or talking about someone you're dating because they may offer a fresh perspective and want to help. But more often than not, if things aren't going well when you are with a date and that maybe you met through that friend, you know, you don't really want to ruin your friendship just because maybe they gave you bad advice. So if you think about it, when you hang out with your friend and they're excited to hear about your budding relationship and asking how it's going, and you're saying things are good even though you're not happy, mostly because you don't want to let them down, where do you turn instead? You know, that kind of guilt doesn't exist with a relationship coach because they offer an unbiased opinion and want to see you get the results that you want. And maybe we are more likely to divulge specific details about what we're looking for to a dating coach. So either way, having good conversation is probably one of the most important parts of dating after the initial attraction. So joining us today on Jewish Singles Radio to discuss all of this is relationship coach Sarah Gittel-Sobel. Sarah is the founder of Relationshift, which was created to offer Jewish women education and support in their relationships. She created the Relationshift method, which is based on 13 principles from genuine Torah sources of how the male-female relationship is built to work and how the energy between a couple shifts. Sarah is a marriage and relationship coach who offers support and education through individual coaching, group workshops, and national retreats. Her team of certified relationship coaches is comprised of women who support and guide other women in their quest for shalom bias, or a peaceful home. Sarah's mission is to guide women to shift their relationships towards greater peace and connection, regardless of their circumstances. And she is joining us today from Crown Heights, New York, where she lives with her husband and 8 children. So welcome, Sarah, to Jewish Singles Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, that's quite an intro. And I think right off the bat, I would love to know, how you got started down this road and, with the idea of wanting to help other women.
Yeah, that's a great question. I really started on a self-exploration of what it would take to enhance my own relationship. I was also in a teaching position at a time in a local high school, and my students were starting to get married and starting to date and had started asking me questions and asking me for guidance. So it was really both of those things together, both my own exploration and, a way of helping the young women that were turning to me that led me to develop this approach.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I wanted to kind of just know a little bit more about how you got into this, like the relationship method and, these 13 principles and how all of that evolved.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So as I was, doing my own research, taking whatever courses or opportunities were out there, reading lots and lots of books, speaking to lots and lots of people and mentors and therapists and all sorts of, all sorts of wise people, I started to see a pattern. I was trying things out. I was using the different bits of advice, the different pieces of advice. And I started to see a pattern of what was working. And when I mean working, I am specifically referring to creating an easy, enjoyable connection. Because like you were saying, communication is such an important part of building a relationship. I mean, how do you communicate? How do you connect? One of the forms of communication, I mean, there's different forms of communication. Some is to convey practical, logistical things. But the deepest purpose of communication is to connect. So I was noticing that some of the approaches towards building a relationship were actually transactional, treating it like a business. His needs, her needs. Can you fulfill my needs? Here's communicating what I need so that you can show up for me in a relationship. And it made relationships very heavy. So I started to, as I'm looking and I'm looking deeper, and again, everything is measured through the Torah lens, I was noticing a pattern. And that's where the principles came up. What are the principles that have stood by us in relationships for thousands of years?
Okay. Wow. It's interesting that you mention how people treat it like a business. And Alana, I didn't even discuss this with you yet, but it's another whole topic for another whole show, actually, because people who are in business and obviously successful and entrepreneurs, because that's how they build their business, is networking and building relationships. But they don't really, I think, know how to navigate dating, because it's like a business transaction almost. So I just, that kind of sparked something in my mind when you mentioned that. I read that communication problems are one of the leading causes of divorce in the U.S. And according to a recent study about ongoing communication difficulties, 67.5% of marriages that ended did so primarily due to communication problems. So how do you help people to talk about sensitive subjects in an effort to salvage a relationship?
Yeah. So, again, this question is very, very broad. And I think it spans a number of areas. So I'll just address a couple of them. First and foremost, men and women have different paradigms. We operate from different paradigms. And what often happens is that a woman is speaking, you know, to what from her paradigm, and the man is speaking from his paradigm. And remembering that the deepest purpose, the deepest function of communication is connection, but they're missing each other because they're not connecting their paradigms. First and foremost would be to understand and legitimize, validify the, or validate, however you want to, you know, express that, validate the validity of the other paradigm. It's very often what I find with coaching women that because we identify so strongly with our paradigm, we often invalidate the masculine one. And that's a really sad loss. And the opposite can happen too, where a man can invalidate the feminine paradigm. But what I do find, which is interesting, is that a man can easily connect to the woman in her paradigm if she gets his. And the reason why I say this way, not to put more work on the woman, but kind of to open us up to the lack of understanding that society has as a whole to some of the elements in the masculine paradigm. I think we need to understand the deeper purpose of communication, which is to connect. And men and women operate from different paradigms. There's a masculine paradigm and there's a feminine paradigm. And this is very much sourced and explained in the Kabbalah and the mystical side of the Torah, where, you know, men and women both have unique souls. And although we all have a masculine and a feminine side, whether you're a man or a woman, a man will identify more with the masculine paradigm and a woman will identify with the feminine one. We're energized by those different paradigms respectively. So in communication, you know, a man could be speaking and a woman could be speaking, but their communication is lacking that connection where their paradigms connect in the middle. You know, they're speaking from completely different perspectives and, you know, lose that connecting factor. So a very big part of communication, especially, you know, when you're looking at the importance of it in retaining a relationship and retaining a marriage. And like you said, so many divorces are traced back to communication. So number one is to study, to learn and to study the different paradigms so that I can actually gain an understanding and an appreciation of where the other person is coming from. So that is something that I teach in my workshops and work with individuals on a one-on-one basis to see where that clash is coming up. A second part of the communication that is so important to put into place that makes a huge difference to couples is one of the principles that I call trust the connection. And the principle is that when we question connection, we call the connection into question. But when I trust connection, I build connection. So when you're addressing a sensitive topic, you can take a step back for a moment and think, how would I address this if I thought the best of him or her? How would I address this if I assume that the other person does care? Instead of me questioning, do you care? Do you care about me? Why don't you care about me? How would my approach differ if I chose to set a foundation, to set a context of you're a good person, you do care? What would be different in the way I would communicate? And I find that makes a huge difference for couples navigating.
100%. I can verify that when I actually articulate that in a relationship, whether it's with my spouse or other people, I say, okay, I trust you. I trust your judgment with this. I might not agree with it, but I totally 100% trust you. That makes a world of difference.
Well, I think it's like right off the bat, right? When we meet somebody and we start talking to them, you know right away if it's if things flow, if it's easy for you, if you can experience their paradigm, as you say, and, you know, you feel like you're in tune with it. And then if you don't, there's like a sense of awkwardness that happens. And I think, you know, if you're dating someone or you're in a relationship, and maybe you don't even think that you have a problem communicating, but sometimes in your gut, you're just kind of hesitant, you know, about where you're headed, and you get a sense of discomfort. And that creates anxiety, you know? So mm-hmm. The thing is, like, how do you kind of tackle that anxiety? Sometimes I think we want to say something, then we're a little hesitant or reluctant, or you don't want to say it the wrong way mm-hmm. or be offensive.
Yeah. So what I like to invite couples to do is look at what type of conversation are they having. I define them as defensive communication and receptive communication. So defensive communication would kind of be like what you're describing. You know, I'm feeling on the defense. I'm feeling awkward. I'm feeling anxious. I don't value, I don't see eye to eye. The conversation is not flowing, or I don't see, you know, where he's coming from as good or productive or healthy. And then it gets me stuck, right? So any conversation I have from that judgment is not going to build anything, right? All possibilities really shut down when I'm in defensive communication, whether it's protecting myself or judging him. Receptive communication opens me up, where as soon as I notice I'm feeling anxious, right, or I'm feeling that awkward, or I'm feeling like, okay, we don't see eye to eye on this issue, I want to relax. I want to notice there's no danger here. That's a very important piece. There's no danger here. This is a conversation. And am I willing to open up to something of value in what the other person is sharing? So let's say, for example, you know, a guy is sharing that he's struggled with alcohol, or he's in debt, right? And you're like, whoa, I don't want to start a relationship, you know, on that shaky foundation. I want to marry someone who's secure. So you want to notice that there's an automatic disconnect, right? He said, I'm in debt right now, or I've struggled with alcohol in the past. And she goes, okay, done. Now, it doesn't mean that you should continue this relationship. That's not what this is about. But in conversation, you want to notice that as soon as I can relax and receive something of value in the other person just shared something with me about their life. Now, I don't have to agree with it, but I can reflect something valuable, such as, gosh, you're so accountable. Something as simple as that, just to validate their struggle. And then once I reflect something of value, something new shows up. You might be surprised. You might be surprised that there's a very deep person in front of you.
Right. I mean, you have to feel it out, so to speak. I mean, I think everyone's leery of red flags in a relationship, or especially mm-hmm. early on. And so my question about all of that is, you know, is the lack of communication a red flag? Because sometimes you just don't know somebody, and it's that period of time where you are trying to get to know somebody, and, you know, trying to communicate effectively. And so, I don't know, do you give it a chance? Do you feel like this was a really awkward, uncomfortable date? Like, I was doing all the talking, he wasn't doing any mm-hmm. of the talking. And, you know, maybe you go out two or three times and you still feel like, you know, you're pulling teeth to get a conversation going. So I don't know, you know, for our listeners, if you're single and that happens right away, is it like, okay, like you said, like, you know, done? Right. Or you give them another chance and kind of try and get into their zone or their paradigm, as you say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, the, you know, the advantage of dating is that you're not committed to anybody. So definitely if a conversation is not going well and you're not enjoying your time with somebody, there's no commitment that's keeping you there. So that's an advantage. You can walk away from this relationship. What I was referring to more was, you know, something that has possibility. What I often find that when women come to me, you know, they'll see a red flag and they'll shut the relationship down. But what I like to look at is, you know, not necessarily does it have to be a shutdown. There could be something of value you might discover here. And if we stay open, then you might discover something more that would make this possible. But definitely, I mean, enjoying conversation together is important.
Okay. And there's also the premise, as we know, that we're not going to change someone in the dating relationship. You know, it might be a great conversation, real interesting person. I know of a couple that was going out and they felt the attraction with each other. And then like on the third date, she got in the car and he said, "I just want you to know that I smoke pot." And this is a religious Orthodox couple. And she felt like the fact that he was telling her on the third date and not trying to hide it was like reaching out to her, you know, to approve or something like that. And right away she was like, oh, my goodness, you know, I just don't want to go any farther with this person. I'm not going to change him. So what do you say about that premise that we're not going to change someone in a dating relationship?
Right. So given that, you know, they had a few good dates, again, no one here is committed, but what could be possible for a woman in that situation would be to ask him, like, how do you suppose this would affect your future family? And she might find out that he's committed to overcoming it. Again, that would have to be something she would have to consider. You know, it is an addictive substance and it's not a simple one. So it could be the end of the relationship. But sometimes noticing my thinking and, you know, instead of shutting it down, perhaps staying open just a little bit, she might be, you know, she might be surprised what comes up.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting that you say no one is committed. And of course, you're not committed to each other, but I feel like, you know, you're committed to yourself because you're investing in yourself and of your time. And, you are enthusiastic about trying to have a successful encounter with somebody and have it move forward. So you really, you know, try to put your best foot forward. So there is some kind of like a loss in that sense in terms of not being committed, but just there is a sense of commitment. I want to just take a quick pause because we're going to go to a break and I want to find out, like, you know, if you are uncomfortable and you feel like you can't communicate, do you need to communicate that? So we're going to come back and answer that question. Stay with us. You're listening to Jewish Singles Radio.
Isaac Sotalidis and the historic Egyptian Theater are proud to be a part of the growing Bala Avenue business, restaurant, and shopping district. Discover all that Bala Kenwood has to offer you today. There's more to Ardmore Pizza than just pizza. Sure, the pizza, stromboli, calzones, and pastas are delicious, made with the freshest, best-tasting ingredients, but consider those sandwiches, hoagies, and burgers. Try the devil crabs or a seafood platter. They cater, too! Ardmore Pizza has been providing great food at family affordable prices for over 35 years, right in the heart of Ardmore at 10 Rittenhouse Place. Stop by, give us a call, or check out the menu and order online at ardmorepizza.net.
This place has a pulse. You hear it in the canopy, feel it in the ground. Life, fully illuminated, engulfs you. From the birds singing in the treetops above to the tiniest insects in the soil below, you take a deep, cleansing breath, filling your lungs with the essence of the forest. Now, imagine it's all gone. Healthy, life-giving forests reduced to nothing. No singing birds, no lush canopy, and water and food in short supply around the world. Time is running out to protect our forests. And without our love, they can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our forests. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who'll make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who'll help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who'll be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
Welcome back to Jewish Singles Radio. If you're just joining us, we are speaking with Sarah Gittel Sobel. She is a marriage and relationship coach and the founder of RelationShift, which was created to offer Jewish women education and support in their relationships or when they are navigating dating and looking towards a relationship. And before the break, we were talking about, I guess, discomfort or feeling of awkwardness when you're dating and with somebody. And my question to you, Sarah, was, is it important to communicate to your date that you need to have better communication?
So when a woman is feeling awkward, I invite her to get deeper into her own skin as opposed to, you know, projecting it outwards. And the reason I do that is because we often look to another to make us feel better or to smooth things out, which has its place. But first and foremost, I need to get centered. I need to get centered in my own body and in my own feelings and what's going on inside of me. So sometimes it's, you know, if it's something where, a woman can do specific exercises, just noticing her breath or noticing where the sensations of awkwardness are coming up for her in her own self, in her own being, noticing that fear of like, what does he think about me? Or am I good enough? Or he's not good enough? Or, you know, what do I think about him? And that helps calm her down before she brings it up or we're having a hard time communicating. Once she's gotten more centered and comfortable in her own skin, you know, I'm not averse to any topic of conversation. You can share whatever she wants.
That's a tall order, though, to get centered in one's own skin.
Yeah, that's another whole show. I mean, people have a lot of trouble just trying to, you know, feel good within their mind, their body, emotional wellness, mental wellness. I think it's very lucrative point and important, but you know, maybe you've been working on yourself, and I just was curious, like, you know, this is the third time I'm with a date, and so should I say, like, it would be really helpful for me if you talked a little more or shared a little more, you know, so that you know, I feel like we can maybe just find some area that we can relate, that's relatable for the both of us. And I'm not saying that it's not relatable. I'm just saying that, yeah, it's just curious to me, like, would you even bring it up? Like, you know what, this is uncomfortable for me. I would love to be able to just, maybe you're uncomfortable. Maybe, you know, I don't want you to feel uncomfortable. I mean, do you need to communicate about your communication, essentially?
Yeah. Again, I like to operate from an inside out. So if you want to ask him, you know, I would love to discuss something that's interesting and I'm feeling kind of stuck myself about what to discuss. You have anything that you, you know, that's on your mind that you'd like to bring up, or something that we could talk about and connect over.
Okay.
Sure.
So
it's a great conversation starter.
Okay, right. That's what basically I was curious about. You know, I think sometimes you're just busy or you're tired and you don't feel like talking. And you know, we say that it's important to be able to share a comfortable silence. So is it a good sign if you can enjoy each other's company without even saying a word? I mean, is silence really healthy in a relationship?
It's definitely part of a relationship. So being comfortable in silence is valuable. And I think it also relates to being comfortable in your own skin. Like, we don't always have to fill the space between us with words.
Okay. I have a question. A lot of us try to avoid conflict in dating relationships and marital relationships, thinking that, oh, no, I don't want to have a fight. I don't want to, you know, come to argument, you know. But would you say there is any benefit in conflict? Is conflict, as Harville Hendricks wrote, a growth trying to happen? Is there a benefit to conflict?
I personally don't see benefit in the conflict, but I see lots of benefit in differences, which is often the root of the conflict. So learning how to navigate those differences, finding value, reflecting value, looking at myself, seeing what is stopping me from seeing value in this person's point of view or where they're coming from, that is definitely valuable.
I understand, especially if you're dating someone because you like a lot about what you know about them, and you're attracted. There's something attracting you there, and there's obviously a comfort level, but there are differences that need to be, as you say, valued. And once you build on that trust, is what I hear you saying, you build on the value. They sense that you value what they're saying and who they are. Now, what about the guys? You're helping all the females, the women that you work with. What about the men? Who's helping them? They certainly need your advice, this kind of advice in relationships.
Yeah, so because I'm a woman, I identify, you know, with the woman's struggles in relationships and how to navigate them. So I don't work one-on-one with men. So unfortunately, I wouldn't have an answer for that. But what I would say is that, I very much admire what men do to try and create a relationship. I mean, there's a lot of investment that goes in to dating and taking a woman out. And I admire that. I admire that on both ends, men and women who are committed to finding out more about each other and spending the time and to see, can we build something together?
I think there's so many different aspects that can come into play in this conversation. So I'm curious about a lot of different things. And another one is about maybe you're just shy. And a lot of people are shy, especially when it comes to meeting somebody for the first time or even the second time. So I'm wondering if you think it's a good idea to come to the date kind of prepared, you know, kind of arm yourself with questions or subjects to talk about.
Yeah, so it's definitely a valuable thing to do, more from a space of who am I? Who am I? What are my values? What are the things that I love? What do I want my life, my world to look like? There's a lot of introspection that goes on into it. You know, when you're looking at building a relationship or building a family, it's really the value system underneath it that's going to endure and make the difference. So definitely some introspection into what are my values? What are the things that I want to bring up, address that are going to be important to me? Some other topics that are fun to discuss that have to do with your personality or your, you know, your areas of interest, are also great to have on hand.
You know, I have people that always say, you know, I don't want to discuss my divorce, my, you know, exes, my elderly parents' illnesses. I mean, people essentially, when you're at least starting out, you want to have easy, joyful, so to speak, conversation. So, you know, I mean, I agree with you that it's important, and the root of it is about your values and what it's important to you. But where do you think we cross over into just kind of treading lightly because you don't want to get into all of that nitty gritty, and then getting, I guess, down and dirty and really revealing, you know, what is going on in your life?
Yeah. So there definitely needs to be the easy, light, and joyful. I mean, it's the glue of a relationship to be able to enjoy another person. So that to me is really individual, you know. Some people say, okay, by this number date, I'm not like that. I see relationships as organic. And I think that even if you do bring up a heavier kind of topic, you can always go back to the easy and joyful ones. It doesn't have to be the only, you know, the only point of conversation. And it shouldn't.
Right. Okay. Well, I can tell you from my role as a matchmaker that there are so many singles who are so frustrated because they're setting the bar real high. You know, he can't be this. He has to be this. She has to be, you know, this tall, this kind of professional, this kind of, I mean, so when you talk about differences can enrich a relationship, how do you advise and work with people who are very much centered on what they, you know, what they need, and they're very fixed on it and not so resilient?
Yeah, so I like to look at what is it about those things that is making them attached to those particular criteria. For example, let's say one woman wants a very nice standard of living and is used to, you know, a certain type of car and a certain type of accommodation. And an opportunity comes up with somebody who has less than, right? Or is not as successful financially as she is. So, you know, oftentimes a woman will say, well, he's not in my league, right? Like, I'm not going to go there. But on the other hand, there may be very many valuable things that are attractive about that person. So let's say you're just looking at a different standard of living. And again, you can switch the genders. What I like to look at, what is it that I'm associating with that standard? And it's usually the association. Oh, like, for example, someone who has that standard of living is more simple or is less developed or is not intelligent or is not successful. So we want to look at those judgments and notice, is that the reality? Or is there something that could be valuable, that could be a difference that's valuable? For example, you know, let's take the standard of living, you know, a car. So she can definitely share her joy of the finer things in life. And that's something that she likes and something that she enjoys. And she can also listen out for, is there something valuable in, you know, being comfortable with less or, you know, doing a certain type of job that involves, you know, let's say, a different type of investment. Maybe it's a, you know, intellectual but not so lucrative. Maybe it's, you know, physical labor but not so. Again, it's important, the differences in who the person is. A whole picture of the person, not just clamping down on criteria.
Yeah, I definitely hear what you're saying. I've had women say they want someone, a man who looks a certain way, like a real man, and then they'll come back and complain that he's so macho and controlling.
I think it depends on where you are in your life. If you're older, I think you tend to kind of be a little more forgiving of what you thought your expectations were. And, you know, I mean, standard of living aside, but I mean, in terms of looks or height or, and even though we're on a Jewish radio show, even, you know, what your religious beliefs are. But I want to just delve a little bit into, you know, the relationship method and talk a little bit about what those 13 principles are. So, you know, I'm just very interested because you say that they're, you know, from genuine Torah sources. So I want to explore that a little bit. Can you tell us?
Sure. So one of the foundations, the first principle is essential value, which means, you know, every one of us has essential worth that is not, cannot be diminished, cannot be augmented, and cannot be diminished. It's a constant. So learning how to get in touch with my essential worth as a human being, as a Jewish person with the soul, or a Jewish soul, or any person has a soul, but I'm saying getting in touch with the beauty and the validity of the human spirit, that is foundational for our relationship because it gives me a consistent source of security. Very often if somebody, you know, says something or, you know, gives us feedback or shares a correction or a criticism even, you know, we can lose our center because all of a sudden I'm no longer good. Once I learn how to tap into the essential value in myself or in another human being, all of a sudden I have a security. I can actually hear the other person's comment as a contribution. Like, hey, thanks for that feedback. Like, that's something I'd love to incorporate. Or I love that you're looking out for, you know, my success or my growth. There's a very different relationship to feedback. So that would be one principle. Another principle is, what does it mean to receive another in a relationship? What does it mean to be receptive or be respectful? I use the words receiving and respectful interchangeably. And the way I describe it is to receive something, like imagine you have a cup, right? The cup is defined, it has definitions, it has walls, and then there's space inside. So the space inside the cup is going to receive water, which I can then drink and, you know, be nourished from. So within a relationship, there's a very important self-definition that needs to happen. You know, who am I? My personal well-being that needs to be solidified, because this is another whole topic of conversation, but very often we lose ourselves in a relationship and trying to please another or in trying to be likable. So very important to have, you know, a very secure well-being. And then that space inside to receive another human being, to have space for them, for their differences, for their contributions, for their values. So, I mean, there's 13 of them, but you can let me know if you want me to continue sharing on them.
I would like you to continue sharing them. I think first we will take a pause and go to a quick break, and then we'll come back and regroup. So stay with us. You're listening to Jewish Singles Radio.
There's more to Ardmore Pizza than just pizza. Sure, the pizza, stromboli, calzones, and pastas are delicious, made with the freshest, best-tasting ingredients, but consider those sandwiches, hoagies, and burgers. Try the devil crabs or a seafood platter. They cater, too! Ardmore Pizza has been providing great food at family-affordable prices for over 35 years, right in the heart of Ardmore at 10 Rittenhouse Place. Stop by, give us a call, or check out the menu and order online at ardmorepizza.net. Isaac Sotalidis and the Historic Egyptian Theater are proud to be a part of the growing Bala Avenue Business, Restaurant, and Shopping District. Discover all that Bala Kinwood has to offer you today.
Standing at the edge of a rocky shore, you breathe in the cool, salty air, watching the sun disappear on the horizon. Across the globe, someone begins their day along a sandy beach, listening to the rhythm of the crashing waves. You each envision a world beneath the water. Vibrant life in every imaginable form. Now, Imagine it's all gone. What was once a place of wonder and beauty is now a dull, lifeless wasteland. Food, jobs, medicine, all gifts from the ocean, all gone. Time is running out to protect our oceans. And without our love, everything the oceans provide can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our oceans. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.
What is hope? Hope to me was just that he would get to come home. I had no idea how hard it would be once he got back.
I wish she'd stop drinking so much. She thinks it's helping, but it's not. I hope she sees that soon.
I act like I don't care if he comes to my games. But I hope he does.
I used to hope he'd find happiness again. Now I hope our marriage makes it.
I hope Grandpa will get help. He thinks it's too late, but it's not.
With everything that he's going through, I hope he sees a counselor. I just want my brother back.
I hoped he'd get help. Stop hoping things would get better on their own. He told me to stop asking. I didn't. Then one day he asked for a ride.
Hope is knowing there are other families just like yours, that the veterans they love got help and recovered. Go to maketheconnection.net and turn hope into action.
Welcome back to Jewish Singles Radio. We are speaking with Sarah Gittel-Sobel. She is the founder of Relationshift, which was created to offer Jewish women education and support in their relationships, and she's a marriage and relationship coach. And before we went to the break, we were talking about the Relationshift method and the 13 principles that are based on genuine Torah sources, and we discussed two of them. But I think that since we're running a little short on time, towards the end, we'll give our listeners direction to where they can learn more about those 13 principles on your website, because I do want to touch on something else that I think is important in terms of the way that people are communicating today. And, you know, everything today is online. And most, you know, relationships start out connecting via technology. And there's millions of people that are dating using dating apps or online profiles. And, look, a lot of people meet their beshert that way, and a lot of people struggle with it. So there's no right or wrong. And I've heard a lot of people say before they even head out on a date that, you know, they want to Google the person that they're dating and get, you know, more insight into their lifestyle, their education, their friends, their family. And so, you know, what do you think about all of that? I mean, do you think that, like, searching for information about your date before you meet people, do that? Do you think that's to help them spark up a conversation? I mean, especially, we know, like, the whole Jewish geography thing, right? Like, oh, I saw that, you know, so-and-so, and it kind of gives you a baseline to start from when you're trying to get to know someone.
I'm good with all types of information, as long as we want to notice judgment. You know, it's great to have a conversation starter. I mean, like you said, the meeting online, you're meeting somebody that you don't have a direct reference for, so it's important to get information about them, like, who is this person? What are they up to? There's always safety is another concern. But definitely it's good to get some kind of knowledge or feel for a person before dating them. And I'm hearing, like you said, also it's an opportunity to collect some information for conversation starters.
Yeah, but I also think that, you know, that can lead to you making assumptions or passing judgment before you really know someone. And then I guess you kind of have, like, mundane, chit chat and ask questions. But I'm just curious if, you know, in terms of communicating, is it important to feel, I guess, that you research them, that you know, you're reading a profile and you're trying to gain insight and information into the person that you think that you're going to be able to relate to and communicate with. And then you're never really sure, but I don't know if research is helpful or not helpful. I think, you know, we tend to ask our friends, do you know so-and-so? What can you tell me about them? Or, I mean, you know, more than really wanting to communicate and find out for yourself, which we do, obviously. But, you know, I just think maybe that helps to generate that initial enthusiasm or spark because there's something that you can communicate about.
Yeah, I mean, I like to stay away from hard and fast rules in relationships. You know, like you said, someone can take it either way. It could be a judgment or assumption, or it could be a great way how to show up to a conversation, knowing a little bit about the person and being able to connect to them faster. So
Right. It's
really a toss up.
Okay, because I know a lot of people who match up great on their profiles, on their dating profile. Everything looks perfect. What she wants, he has, and what he wants, she has. But then, you know, once even in a virtual date, they get face to face, like there's no connection. So it's this, you know, je ne sais pas, this connection ability and their style of connecting. That is so, nobody's going to put that down on their, you're not going to really know about that from a dating profile.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. You just don't know how relatable someone is going to be and how expressive they're going to be and how comfortable you're going to feel.
Right. And there's all different kinds of personality types and personality type questionnaires, but it all comes down to the face-to-face and in-person communication that is without fear and without anxiety. I would love to see that you could maybe team up with a male colleague and do some kind of relationship guidance to couples who are serious about getting married.
That's a great suggestion. I just want to make sure that before we end the program that you have an opportunity, Sarah, to tell our listeners where they can find you and any information pertaining to the relationship method.
Sure. You can go online at createrelationship.com. And God willing, we're going to be opening up a number of workshops and opportunities at the end of November. And that will be posted on the website.
Okay. And just one last question. I mean, just some maybe a few words of advice in terms of tips that you can offer to our listeners to help them to foster more open and honest communication when they're dating.
Yeah. So some tips. I think the biggest peace in communication is space, creating space and acknowledging value. So when somebody shares something, instead of rushing in with a counter opinion, let it sit. Say, restate what they said. Let them feel heard. And then see if you can find a value. What is it about them as a person that you could reflect? Something valuable. Gosh, you're accountable. Or, oh, I love your sense of fun. Something where I'm responding to the value beneath what they just shared. And then look inside yourself and share whatever it is that you had on your mind. But within communication, that first step of space for the other person, letting them know that you've heard what they've shared by restating, by reflecting, by acknowledging a value, and then sharing what's on your mind is a real game changer.
So great insight and tips. And, you know, hopefully for people who maybe have poor communication skills or suffering from a lack of communication, you know, they'll persevere. It won't exactly be a reason that you need to feel that, you know, you need to move on. I think we touched on a lot of very important points and, you know, as we mentioned earlier, start from within. I think that's a really good takeaway. So, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today on Jewish Singles Radio. It was a pleasure communicating with you.
Thank you. Likewise.
So if you would like to listen to Jewish Singles Radio on a weekly basis, make sure you tune into our live broadcast. That's every Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. right here on WWDB AM 860 or on WPEN 97.5 FM, that's HD2. Or you can listen to our show on demand at WWDBAM.com and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in.